was needing heat before, but I'm thinking since this is the beginning of the winter season, we're not as acclimated to it as we will be, say, in 2 months from now. All right, Psalm 119, I'm going to begin on verse 73. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. So a statement of God's creation. Give me understanding. And tonight, what I want to look at are some verses here in Psalm 119 that have to do with understanding. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. This psalm, many psalms, perhaps we can say most psalms are written by David. But as you know from seeing in your Bible, at the beginning of a psalm, it may say a psalm of Asaph. So not all of the psalms were written by David. Psalm 119, there's no identification as to who wrote it. When I researched it, most that I found said it was David. A good number simply said the author is not identified. So then I thought about our friend Avi. And we are friends in Facebook and on Messenger. And so I sent him a message and told him that I'm speaking on Psalm 119 tonight, and I wondered what his opinion of who the author is. And he said that some feel that it was Ezra the scribe, and others feel it was David. Because of the contents of it, and because it is written, and you know Psalm 119, when you see it in your Bible, you've got the Hebrew alphabet that's listed throughout it. And he felt that with that aspect and the nature of its content, he feels it was King David, and said he hopes that's a help. Obviously, I replied to him, thanking him for it, and it was a help personally to me. I also am endeavoring to keep a contact with Avi regarding different things so as to be able to support pastors' interaction with him on a level of scriptural studies. Now, obviously, we're going to keep praying for Pastor and Ruth Ann. Missionary Hannah Bennett is out of the hospital. And I told Avi that we would be praying tonight for Israel, because they are having particular troubles and difficulties. Usually, it's a girl of 7 or 8 who has a little baby doll. And the baby doll laughs like that. It's not usually someone Melinda's age. Now tell me, that's your phone and not a baby doll. Okay, it was your phone. If you didn't hear it, her phone is set to a baby laughter as her ring. And therefore, that's what I'm talking about. We heard her baby. All right. Now, Dan Bergman on the Jewish Awareness Ministries, Dan Bergman being one of our missionaries, he said, quoting the Israeli Project, Hamas is pushing Israel to the brink of war. And that statement comes from the Israeli Defense Forces. Avi Gold has been posting various things And I told him that we would be requesting prayer tonight for Israel. And he was extremely grateful. Pastor Willie O'Dell also quoted the Israel Defense Forces. And I'm reading his quote. More than one rocket per minute has been fired from Gaza at Israel over the course of a two-hour period. I don't know when that two-hour period was. Was it a day ago? Did it happen today? It shows the extreme attack on Israel. And of course, if Israel endeavors to defend itself, then it will be accused of attacking the Palestinians. And even more devastating is that Israel will again come under attack for not allowing the Palestinians to have their full freedom. And, you know, there's no way I can try and cover tonight all of the things that are involved in that whole subject. We stand on the side of Israel. Amen. We stand. And you can not only pray for Israel as a nation, a people, but pray for, what's the term, Prime Minister Netanyahu. Because if he decides to attack the Palestinians, Hamas, for these rockets, then he's damned if he does that. If he doesn't do it, now from within his own country, he is being pressured to do that. And so the fella is really in a tight spot. So we need to pray that way. But tonight now, we're at Psalm 119, verse 73, and the word understanding. Repeatedly, David refers in this psalm to understanding. I looked up the meaning for understanding, the meaning from a scriptural definition, not just out of today's current dictionary, but it means to distinguish. If you have understanding on something, you're distinguishing various aspects and insights of that matter. To consider. When you, it says there, give me understanding. Give me consideration of what's needed. And to discern. Another one of the definitions was that of have intelligence. And indeed, that is needed. If you have understanding, you have good knowledge regarding the subject or the matter at hand. And then to perceive something. If you have understanding, you can perceive whatever the subject is that's being discussed. So verse 73 says, give me understanding. Why? Why do I want perception? Why do I want to have knowledge on something? According to verse 73, that I may learn thy commandments. This was not for David's self-advancement, but it was for him to understand God's way. That's why he wanted to have understanding. Verse 74, and I'm not going through all of the verses in Psalm 119, okay? So rest easy. It's just some of these verses really caught my attention. Verse 74, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. And I ask the question, are people glad to see us? And why? Is it because our lives are lived by his word? That's what it says here, that people were glad to see him because he had hoped in the word. And so are we living in such a manner that people are glad to see us because they like the way we live? Okay, that's what this is talking about in verse 74. Now, look at verse 79. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies, that is God's testimonies, let those that fear thee, same as verse 74, they that fear thee will be glad. In other words, other Christians. Are other Christians glad to see us because of the way we live? Verse 75, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. So we see the subject in this verse is God's faithfulness. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. God's judgments are right. Now God, and remember, another word you can often use, not everywhere, but often, you can use the word evaluation. Thy evaluations, Lord, are right. So here's my life. God looks at me, he makes a judgment. He makes an evaluation of my life. And he is faithful when he afflicts me. Okay? In other words, God looks at you and determines that it will be a benefit for you to be afflicted. Well, I thought God is a God of love, and he is. And that's why he will afflict us sometimes. You know, I'd rather that weren't true. But it is. And look at verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Before I was afflicted, David lived his own life. David lived his own way, and we know some of the wrong things that David did in his living. But he tells us here in verse 67, now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Do we consider God being good when he afflicts us? Now listen. It's one thing for God to afflict us, and it's another one for him merely to allow affliction to come. We're human. And we as Christians are going to suffer from the same maladies and problems that millions of other humans suffer from. But this is talking about a time when God afflicts us. God afflicts us. Why would he do that? According to David's experience, it was because he was going astray. He wasn't being what he was supposed to be as a child of God. And God, because he loved him, afflicted him to bring him back in line. Does that mean that every affliction we have is a judgment from God? No. I just finished saying we have some afflictions like millions of other people have. We're human, therefore we'll undergo some of them. And we get God's grace to bear them. But there's times when, like David recognized that there was an affliction that God brought to him because he was going astray. Now, how do we know that? When we're afflicted, how do we know the difference? Remember, the scripture says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there be any wicked way in me." And so it is that we need to pray. and ask God, God, is this something you have sent to me because I need correcting in some area? And if God doesn't, and God isn't going to hold out on us and let us sit in the hot seat and all of that stuff. No, if there is something and we're truly wanting to now know, he'll show us. But then when he shows us, we must repent, as did David. And we know from the life of David, he was no longer going astray. But what was it? It was God afflicting him that brought him back in line. Now, I'm always fearful of teaching something like this, that there's somebody that is going to wrongly assume that an affliction they're undergoing is a judgment from God. Just because I've said what I've said does not make that the case. That is determined by the individual in prayer with God. But if God says yes, then is when we must repent. And that's why in verse 75, David felt that God was faithful, because it was through God's love, because of God's love, that he put him in affliction and he was able then to be closer to God. Verse 76, let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. He said that after he just talked about God's faithfulness in afflicting. God will give us comfort. God will give us help. He's there to be a comfort. But it's, you notice it again, please. Be for my comfort according to thy word. That's why we must read and meditate, which means to think on God's word, on the scriptures. And the Psalms are especially helpful for this. Many times David's problem was a person. Your problem might be a physical illness. Your problem might be a financial difficulty. Your problem might be with another person, but not like David's was when his son Absalom was trying to kill him. Okay? But we can, when we read of David's problem, the help that God wanted to give him, we can take ourselves and put ourselves into that portion of the scriptures. But we must be willing to accept his way. Now, verse 87 says that he was almost overcome. They had almost consumed me upon the earth. And now he, again, his problem is people. Your problem might be finances. They had almost consumed me upon the earth. This is important. But I forsook not thy precepts. Too often we Christians give up on obeying the scriptures. We give up on living for God when he doesn't remove the burden. He wants to give us comfort. That's what we said in verse 76. He wants to give us his grace to bear it. But we want it removed. And when he doesn't remove it, then we drop out. It's not an uncommon thing for somebody that used to be faithful to church, they're no longer faithful. And this isn't always the case, but frequently I've talked with such folks and they say, well, you know, I was praying to God for something and he didn't answer my prayer. And so I just stopped going to church. Now, you and I know that God answers prayer. Not the way we may want. And when a person too many times doesn't get the answer they want, if it doesn't go the way they think it ought to, then they'll just give up on God. Mm-hmm. And because they're filled with pride, they won't do it right away. This event may have happened in February, and they'll hang on and go to church through March and April. Because everybody knows what they're struggling with back here in February. And they've asked for prayer. And folks know that they haven't gotten the answer they're looking for. But boy, if they drop out of church right away, it's going to show on them, isn't it? So they'll hang on and through March and April, and then they'll start to drift off. And they used to go to both the services, now they go to one. They used to go to three of them, now they go to two of them, you see? And they just cut back. Because why? Because their pride, they don't want it to be known what they're doing. That's how it goes.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, that's not every time. I've met people who have just flat out accused God of not being who he said he was, and they just immediately stop. Many times people just do that diminishing act, okay? Oh my goodness. Verse 87, David said, I forsook not thy precepts. And now you go to verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Verse 100, I understand more than the ancients. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies. So here you see, here we have David knowing more than the other people that he's interacting with. And why is it? Because of the word of God. In each of these situations, it's the word of God that has, in 98, it's commandments, in 99, it's called testimonies, and in 100, it's called precepts. It all has to do with the scriptures. And that's what's made him so wise. Now, when I read through that, thought through these things that I shared, then look at what verse comes next. Verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So often we've quoted that alone, and it is filled with great meaning even as it stands alone. But you see, David said that after all of what he experienced in the understanding and in God's faithfulness to him, even when God afflicted him. And then he comes to the point where he says, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In other words, all of this, he was able to say, this is the guidebook, because of all that he existed and lived with. Let's go to prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for your love and grace.
We surely do pray, dear Father, even as earlier we made requests to be known. We pray for this Michaela, 20-year-old with